welcome to Inside Education on 103.2 Dublin City FM with me, Sean Delaney. Inside Education is a weekly programme and podcast about teaching and learning for anyone involved or interested in education. You can listen back to hundreds of previous episodes of Inside Education by going to seandelaney.com and clicking on podcasts. This week, I continue the topic I began on last week's programme about primary school tours. Last week, I shared some of my own thoughts and suggestions on the topic, and this week, I wanted to hear directly from the coalface. To do this, I spoke to two teachers who have lots of experience of organising school tours, one as a class teacher and the other as a school principal, who was previously a class teacher. Katrina Cosgrave teaches second class in Scolonia Girls' School in Raheny, and she is known to listeners of this programme for her ideas on teaching physical education and her work with the Irish Primary PE Association. Martin Kennedy is principal of Scolcolum Quill in Screen. I met up with Katrina and Martin to talk about school tours, and I began by asking Katrina where she was bringing her class on their school tour this year.
We are going to Causey Farm in Navan in County Meath, and we've been going there for 6 years now. We are going for a full day trip with all of the second classes.
Okay, so there's multiple second classes going.
There's three classes in each stream in our school, so all three classes are going together on that particular day.
So parents are used to it because it happens every year for second class, is that right?
Yes, and it would be widely known within the school, and it would often be cited actually by the children as the tour that they would often remember the most as they leave sixth class, just due to the nature of the activities that they experience there.
And in terms of practical details, how much does it cost? How do you get there?
They have a cost per child normally, in this year it would be €14 per child, and then obviously we have the school or the bus cost on top of that. Then, so roughly we'll end up coming out probably around €20 for the children, and they bring their own lunches and that, so there's no sort of money required on site in that particular tour. There's a per head cost and then the bus cost then as well.
What do the children do there at Causey Farm?
A range of activities, but the highlight for them is the bog jump, and they jump in a bog and get really dirty and messy, which I think is a huge part of it for them, and that's the part that they remember the most. Obviously for children, I'm teaching in a school that's in the suburbs of Dublin, and although many of the children have experienced farms before, they may not have been so close up close to farm animals because they're not in a rural area, and they would also do other activities like natural mazes and zip lining and adventure trails and fairy walk as well, and then giant bubbles, things like that. So various different activities. Happens to be very well structured, and hence why we keep going back.
And if you were to describe the educational potential of it for the children, is it mainly in the areas of, it sounds to me like physical education and geography, is that right? Or is there more?
I think it's interesting because one of the things as a whole school that we had decided a number of years ago, because it had linked into our active school flag, was that every class level would make an effort within the school to identify a tour that would promote physical activity in some way, shape or form. And I think that has really helped. There's obviously other elements to it other than the physical activity side of it, but it is quite a physically active tour. So all class levels now in our school currently go to something that is related to physical activity, because that's the theme that we've been focusing on. So, yes.
And are there animals on the farm?
There are, yeah, there are. The huge hit last year were kittens and puppies, which had just been born. So they were up close to them, and just regular donkeys, goats, whatever, sheep. Very basic, but again, these children wouldn't have been up close and maybe feeding animals like that before because of their background, which is more, you know, suburbia.
And do they have to bring a change of clothes?
They do. They have to bring a change of clothes, and they dump the other set of clothes into the bin when they get home.
Literally?
Literally, they're told to bring clothes that they can throw out. And then they come home then with their covered head to toe in bog dirt, but I think that's a huge part of the attraction for them. So the allowance for the freedom for them to get dirty and messy and enjoy themselves.
And is it an expectation in the school that all classes will go on this particular tour? Like, I couldn't decide that I wanted to go to Dublin Zoo instead, for example.
You could, but you would collectively probably decide with your class grouping. So if there's more than one class at your level, you would normally sit with your your colleagues at that level and decide maybe investigate a couple of tours. And what we have found is if it's having experienced different venues, if it's not broken, we don't tend to try and change it for that class level if we feel that it is working well. But at the same time, there's always new opportunities there. A lot of our children have the ability to pay for the cost of it, even though it's not exorbitant. But in recent years, there have been some children who have struggled, parents perhaps, with paying that or haven't come as a result of cost. So it's just an interesting one for us.
Martin, if I come to you, Katrina teaches second class, whereas you're a principal of a school, so you have an overview across all the classes in the school. What's happening in your school in terms of school tours this year?
There's a variety of events that take place. We do some field trips as well, which kind of becomes a mini school tour, if you like. But I was very interested to hear Katrina's comments on the Causey Farm, because I know I was there initially when they first set up. It's a fantastic destination for kids now. It is great that kids in Dublin get to get out and get mucky, and it's probably the only time that Mead people at the moment have a chance to throw some muck at the dub, so that's also very positive from our point of view. But back to the tours for the kids, we decided as a school policy there some years ago to try and ensure that the kids got a variety and there was some kind of continuity in what they did. I was very impressed with the idea of the having a physical activity as core to the to tour event, so that's brilliant to have. Ours, junior and senior infants, we've 8 classes. It's a school population of a little over 200, so they go together, they combine together, which helps to reduce cost of transport, because we are out in the countryside, so every place we go is the transport is an issue for us.
When you say together, you're talking about junior and senior infants go together.
Yeah, we combine the 2 classes. So they go together. Junior and senior infants this year travel to Newgrange Farm. So again, it's a farm activity. They're taking around the farm. They see the same kind of thing. It's animal care, animal husbandry, which I wasn't expecting this year, but that was very educational, I have to say. And then to get a walk around the farm and see the implements and see. But some of our kids, even though we live in the countryside, not all of them would be farming. That's dynamic has changed pretty much. There's probably a third of them in the farming. Some of them would have some, maybe a few chickens around the place, but they wouldn't be farming as such. So it's still educational for them to go and see how a farm works. First and second class then went to the Let's Go activity camp, which is run, there's a series of them run around the country. The one for us, the nearest one, is in Gormanston. It's an extremely well-run camp, full of activity right during the day. It's not weather-dependent too, because the Gormanston facility is a fantastic facility, so a lot of it happens indoors, as well as some outdoor activities.
And that's a full day, is it?
Full day event. They would leave early in the morning, normal school time is about 9 o'clock, so they're on a bus by 9:30. Didn't get back, I think, till 4:30 this year, you know, so it extends the day a little bit for them.
And is that specific sports, or is it...
It's a range of sports. It's not sport-specific, but it's fun activities. So they might play some indoor football, but a lot of it is, you know, zorb, karting, all that kind of thing, you know, a little bit of archery and some. It depends on, there's a range, there's a kind of menu, and you can choose depending on the capabilities of the children. Then the... third and fourth class, they're the lazy ones. They didn't do anything active. They got on a bus and went to Belfast to the W5 exhibition, the science exhibition. So again, it's a full day out from them, left early enough in the morning and didn't get back till about 6:30. So it was fantastically organised, because again, the facility there is spread over 3 floors and there's a series of workshops. Work run like clockwork, so you arrive at your allotted time and you move on after 20-30 minutes onto the next experience. Really well done and very well received by the children. And then for real activity then, the 5th and 6th class tour, it depends on what has happened with the 5th class. We take part in this JEP, the Junior Entrepreneur Programme. So depending on how successful that is, the children in 5th class generally make a nice little bit of money. So I think our kids took about 40-45 euros per head in profit this year from their JEP program, which was really successful. So they wanted to spend money on a more significant tour than we would normally take them on. So they're going to Oceanic Surf School in Tramore the week after next. And that's normally something, we keep the 5th and 6th class separate because we do like to give the 6th class their final school tour as a kind of a biggie. And we push the boat out a little bit for them. But they're going on the same tour. So we leave early in the morning again, travel down to Tramore. We meet a gentleman there who takes us up to the lifeboat house. They get a full explanation of how the lifeboat system works. See the radio system, see the kit. They dress up like the lifeboat person would. And then they spend an afternoon surfing, which is the most tiring thing that you can imagine. And after that, then we let him loose for an hour or two, maybe in the amusement park. We get home by about 9 o'clock.
Do they have to be able to swim to do the surfing?
Not at all. And in fact, if you go surfing in Tramore, you get more bubbles in the bath sometimes. You know, it's very, very safe because it's a very long beach, but there's no great fall off on it, right? It's very flat. And sometimes there's no waves. But the staff down there are fantastic because if there's no surfing, then they make rafts with the surfboards and all kinds of games and activities happen in the water.
And what about pocket money for them? Because if they're going to be spending time in the amusements, they're going to need money.
Yeah, we limit it. They're six lads. In our school, all the kids would have made confirmation, so the pockets are not empty. So we limited it to €20. So they come up and like the tour itself, I think it costs about 55 in total. Yeah, about €20 for pocket money, and that's just to spend in the amusement park.
And would you bring many parents or many teachers with the children on the different tours?
I'd nearly always try and include parents on it for a number of different reasons. First of all, in some places it's a requirement. You have a certain adult ratio per pupil. So that's fine, it covers us that way. But also it's a great insight for the parents to see how their children behave when they're out in the day, how other children behave when they're out in the day. And it's an eye-opener for so many of them. And I think most of the parents that would have come back would have a far greater appreciation for what it's like to be locked inside in a room with 25 or 30 boisterous kids during the day. So, and also develops relationships too between this teaching staff and the parent body. So yeah, I'd be very, very positive for that. Once you choose wisely.
Do you want to say more?
Read between the lines. No, I think that's it. I mean, it's great to get volunteers that are prepared to come forward and go away with the kids.
And as long as the parent can see beyond their own child in terms of looking after others.
I did say choose wisely. And I think, you know, when you're doing that, you'll know from your dealings with the parents over the year, you'll know what to choose.
Katrina, you heard Martin listing the tours that are going on at other levels in his school. How do they compare to tours at different levels in your school?
It would be very similar. We would have had the Let's Go camps for slightly older classes as well in a different venue close to us. Again, very well organised and the children really enjoyed it. On the thematic concept as well, one of the things that we were saying was, as a staff, that the idea with the Active School flag, obviously we took active themed school tours, but the fifth and sixth class had done a lot of work on, they were focusing a lot on historical projects a number of years ago, and so they decided to take a tour that was based on history. So they would have gone down to actually assist Causey Farm, the family that own Causey Farm have another premises in Castle Pollard where the children and the teachers get dressed up in clothing from that time and learn various different skills, either cooking on the farm, etc., that would have taken place in those days, and they absolutely loved that as well, very educational, and they would have built on what they were doing in school at that particular time as well. So it was another very successful tour. Our sixth class, a little bit like Martin, we would tend to push out the boat a little and we go to Carlingford Adventure Centre for a much longer day. We debated the merits at a staff meeting at length in relation to should we take them away for the weekend, and it throws up lots of different issues for schools in relation to, you know, supervision, child protection, etc. And I think I know that some schools do it, but a decision was made that the children would go for the full day, and again, like Martin, would leave quite early in the morning and then get back quite late in the evening. But wonderful activities up there for the day, including water-based activities. So it varies. And then another year, we all decided we were going to do art-themed school tours. So whether it was going to a pottery studio, an art studio, art gallery, the National Art Gallery, and then maybe going into Merrion Square and playing in the playground in there. So you can, again, these could be field trips that you could do during the year, or you could decide on your school tour, right, we're all going to do an art-themed one. It's not always as uniform as that across all of the classes. But again, Glasnevin Cemetery would have been one that would be very popular as well in terms of the historical context. And for the young children, I know that literally playing in a playground with the children, which seems very, very basic, or a teddy bear's picnic in our local park seems very basic, but they don't do that collectively, perhaps with all of their classmates and maybe some parents as well. So that's a totally new concept for very young children. So it could be as simple as that. And I think the younger children tend to go on those kind of simpler school tours that don't require you to travel too far or even to do anything majorly different than what you might think they were doing. But then the thing is, they may not be doing it in their everyday lives, so you can't really take that
can
for granted.
That, John? Can I just, I think, you know, the idea of getting on a bus, and it's probably different in the urban or suburban situation to my situation in rural, because I've come from an urban situation. And getting the bus was no big deal for the kids because they're around the place all the time. They're part of their daily routine. Mm. But in the country, I know for the infants particularly, because I went out to the bus with them as they were going off there last week to their tour, the bus could have taken them up the road, turned around and come back again, and they'd have been excited because it was, you know, they had to come in a side entrance of the bus and walking up these big steps, and they're so huge for children. This was the excitement. If that bus came back, they would have been happy out. And that's sometimes all they want, you know. Mm-hmm. Don't think we have to really go overboard sometimes. I think we get carried away with trying to do really exciting and, you know, creative things with them. And sometimes that experience, that joy, if you just see the joy in the kids getting on a bus, something as simple as that. The other element then, I just want to refer to, when you talk about those things that you can do, and they're kind of cost neutral, really, particularly if you're in, I remember from when I worked in Dublin 15, there was times when we simply got on a regular bus outside the school at 25 pence back then, I'm showing my age, to go into the Phoenix Park maybe, and we would have a tour in Phoenix Park, you know, to walk. So, or maybe then, you know, we did walking tours around the centre of Dublin, so maybe more field trips than school tours. But yet, I think anytime you leave the school you're on tour, they can be done for very little. But if you go back to a few years ago in the bus times, I think we all kind of, you know, we pulled back on the tours because you were very conscious of asking families, particularly families with two or three kids, for, you know, 30 quid, 40 quid, 50 quid in occasions. And it does mount up, and it was another burden on schools. So for a couple of years, many schools actually withdrew from school tours altogether. And I think that's to the eternal loss of the children, because their memories of school, most of them will be that day out they had when they fell in the bog in Causey or whatever it was, or they came home without their shoe or whatever part of their clothing they came home without, or the time the teacher did something stupid on that school tour, you know. I can remember myself falling off on the zip wires, climbing up one of these poles and pulling the top off the thing and landing in the middle of the air on a zip wire. The kids had a great, they'll never forget it. I felt like an idiot. But there's so many different aspects to tours.
Okay, but you're creating memories, but how much learning is going on? How educational is the experience for the children?
I think every time you go outside the door of the school, you're learning. I don't think they can be too narrow. For instance, I used to take kids to the UK on tours, and we'd be gone for 3 days. So it was two or three nights, depending on cost, that we'd stay overnight, travel overnight on ferry, bus our way around the UK at the different attractions, and come back again. The learning that went on in that was phenomenal. And sometimes the learning wasn't the bit of history you learned, or it wasn't maybe, you know, the great insight you got to whatever science exhibition or whatever it was. Sometimes the social learning that goes on. And maybe sitting on a bus with a fella that you mightn't really have got on with, but when you're with him for 2 or 3 days, you kind of see another aspect to him. And to see kids sharing with each other, for that fella, he's running a bit low on money, and giving him a couple of quid, buying him a bar of chocolate when you're standing in the shop, that kind of stuff. Social interaction, because at the end of the day, no matter what results we leave with out of school, we all have to be social animals. And if you're not going to be able to get on with somebody, well then I think you're not much use to anyone in society. So where does the learning begin and where does it end? I think they're learning all the time. They're also seeing the teacher as a different character when they leave the school environment, because in the tour setting, you can maybe relax those laws and those regulations that you have to impose on kids in school. So the learning is, it shouldn't be narrow. And sometimes it's not just measurable, but if you ask the kids, and again, Katrina, you mentioned the lifelong learning they have, the memories that they make forever. I meet grown men now pushing buggies around in supermarkets who will still stop me and say, do you remember when? And it's a reference back to something that happened on a school tour when they were 11 or 12. I think particularly for the overnight tours, it's a real step on independence, because every place else they go, mom and dad or whoever is telling them, don't do this and don't do that. When they're away like that, there's no reference point there. The teacher is the reference point. You mightn't be talking to the teacher all the time. But you do have to, you have to learn to stand on your feet. You have to learn to manage your money. You have to learn when to eat. You have to learn to know when to ask to go to the toilet, because the bus is going to drive for 3 hours and you mightn't be able to get off again. There's a whole lot of learning that goes on that encourages children, I think, to become a little bit more independent. Even sleeping in a room overnight with 4 or 5 year buddies, it's a very safe environment, because for many of them, it's the first time they've been away from home by themselves. But yet they have the security of knowing that there's an adult next door in the next room, and they're in their room with the friends. Not saying there's much sleep going on, but it's a start on that step, I thought, towards independence and the first step into kind of semi-adult life, if you know what I mean.
What do you think about the educational potential, Katrina, of school tours?
I would agree with Martin that sometimes we don't have to hit specific objectives when we go on tours. Okay, we might say overall we're hoping to kind of improve their, whether it's their history knowledge or geography knowledge or scientific knowledge. But I think it happens much more in the social and emotional realm. And even talking to children, they just say the freedom, the concept of being free and being with their school friends that doesn't involve work, and like that, viewing their teacher in a different light. If you ask the children, they love the fact that their teacher might let go, jump into the bog with them in our case and race them, or all of those kind of things. It is actually holistic learning, which is what we want them to learn in terms of the curriculum, even though they may not be measurable or written down anywhere. I think a lot of it is in kind of the effective learning domain, like their thinking and their social skills. And as you say, they see other children in a different light. And as myself and Martin were saying, we have been chatting about the fact that the overnight thing, for me, I think they're a bit young in primary school. And even though I agree with everything that Martin says, what those kind of tours do teach, and I just wonder, is it our role as primary school teachers to provide those experiences and opportunities? Again, I wouldn't personally have any issue with going away, but I can see how you're just raising the bar all the time in terms of perhaps expectations for children when the world is so expectant of them doing bigger and better trips. And if it's the UK this year, is it going to be somewhere more extravagant the following year?
But when you're going on those foreign tours, another aspect that I just forgot to mention when we were saying that was there, it is expensive. I've stopped doing those. I think the last time I took kids away to the UK was probably 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was that kind of crash time, and it was just, you know, I couldn't justify asking people for the kind of money that was required, and they were getting to, like, they were 300 euros and over, you know. So, but the point of it was, before that, in September, kids would start saving. So there was another learning going on in that, and they knew so you were saying to kids at the start of the year, listen, I'd love to bring you to wherever it is, and here's the plan, but we need to get to this, or how are we going to get to this stage? Here's what it's going to cost. Do you think that's possible? Can we ask mum and dad for that kind of money? And, you know, generally, oh God, I don't know. So why don't you start working for it? And why don't you start doing this, that and the other? So your birthday money that came in, it went into a savings fund, you know, so a regular savings, and they could see that, well, actually, it is achievable. I think there's another learning going on there about saving regularly and building up that
financial management.
Absolutely, without a doubt. Kids in fifth class would start saving for the tour in sixth class because they knew it was coming. Now, that put an expectation that you had to go and do it. But look, in our case, that was never. I was blessed to have a number of very good staff that were prepared to come with me on those kind of tours and give up their weekends. Mm-hmm. And it's a big imposition, for sure, and a massive responsibility. But the reward that you get out of something like that is phenomenal.
I do think some teachers, though, and again, I would include myself in it, but you're like that, the level of responsibility, and with the way the world has gone in terms of, you know, child protection, it's such a huge issue for teachers now that I think reluctant teachers are probably going to really step back from something, you know, something like that. I do think that secondary school provides those kind of opportunities, and I'm not saying that it should be there either. As you say, during those times, it's the financial cost, really, and I think the savings thing is a really, really good point. But even in the past couple of years, I've seen some of my children not being able to get forward the 20 euro or the 25 euro. So I do think it can be pressure.
Is homesickness a potential problem on the overnight trips?
Yeah, it is, absolutely. And I can remember one child who was very, very upset, very, very homesick, who was there. We were in Edinburgh. I couldn't do much about sending him home then. So I put him in the room with his father. And that was the only time that he was sick. His dad was with us. That was the only time a child got homesick. And he was only homesick because dad was there. And I'm convinced that that child's father wasn't there, it wouldn't have been a bother on him. I don't know what got into him. So we had to move things around and let him room with his own father that night. I can see the potential, yeah, but it has never been a problem. And I think because they're with three and four of their buddies, there was never an issue. I haven't experienced it anyway, just that one occasion.
We're coming near the end. Is there anything that you kind of say now as a teacher, and both of you have a lot of experience teaching, is there anything you would say, well, when you're doing a school tour, you have to do this or you have to bring that? Is there anything you would kind of say, maybe to somebody, a teacher who's just starting off teaching, that you would say to them, you know, this is one piece of advice I'd definitely give you?
Some places are set up for school tours and they advertise very heavily, but when you get there, they may not have the personnel that have the experience of dealing particularly with young children, and they don't really know how to handle them. So I would say definitely investigate not just pupil-teacher ratio, but the idea of the just investigating how what level of organisation is there, and making sure they get those answers quite clear before you go, because otherwise, from your perspective, it may not be as beneficial as you might like it to be, and it might not be as organised. So I do think a place that is as organised and has a reputation for that, I think, and word of mouth, obviously, speaking to other colleagues in other schools. And I think another tip is, again, as you say, geographically, I think for younger children, not to feel that you have to go really far, and it might just be a journey on the dart to the next stop where they can go to a park and have a picnic. But again, it's that thing of being on the dart or on the bus and being with their school friends, which is different to being with their home friends or their family or their cousins and that. So to keep it simple, I think, not to be looking for the wild and wonderful tours.
Yeah, I echo everything that Katrina said there, but I think the key to it all is preparation. Like all things we do in teaching, if you prepare properly, it's going to be successful. If you don't prepare, when it goes wrong, you have nobody to blame except yourself. So, and that preparation can be for most of us, I think, is maybe visiting the site. Mm-hmm. I take the word of mouth thing for sure. Mm-hmm. A trusted colleague is as good a recommendation as anyone else. They've done it for you. You don't need to reinvent the wheel in that sense. But some place you've been yourself, and I know that I would have taken a lot of time to visit places and see what they had on offer. And some of them are shocking, to be honest. And if I go back long enough now, I think, in fairness, the standard of tour that's on offer in Ireland at the moment is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So many places have stepped forward and have improved, because the sea is a huge market. Okay, it's a limited time of the year, but for that time, there really aren't enough quality places in Ireland. The good ones get booked up quite quickly, mm-hmm. and you need to book very early in order to secure your spot. But I think everyone has really stepped up, and a spread of them around the country. I've been to a good few of them in different places, and the quality it's on offer is fantastic. It wasn't always that way. I know that some of the early things, I remember we referenced Causey Farmer after building them up there, and they are fantastic. But I remember being there in the early days, and it was shocking, absolutely mm-hmm. shocking. But they've learned as well, and they've learned of, you know, what's expected of them. But others then, health and safety is a big issue mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. And staffing, Katrina referenced that as well, and that's hugely important. And numbers are okay, but you can have, if that number is not active, mm-hmm. Well then it's no good. And, you know, the children are your responsibility when they're out there. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that they're paying money to be there. They deserve the very, very best. And I think that's where your prep and a little mm-hmm. bit of, you know, reconnoiter yourself, go and visit it. Most places are very welcome, are very open to welcoming teachers in on a free visit, just as a recce to have you come in, you know, see the places, see what they have on offer. They're keen to impress you because you're a potential client, and it's a great way to see a place. You know, maybe when you're looking for something to do on that Saturday afternoon, or you're looking for somewhere to go on a Sunday, go and see some of the places that you might see. You'll be surprised, and surprised mostly in the positive. Mm-hmm. But it's also good to know that if you're going to bring kids down to wherever it is, that they won't be let down, that you know they're going to get a quality product.
A really important message there for teachers when planning a school tour, bringing this week's Inside Education to a close. Thanks to Katrina Cosgrave and Martin Kennedy for their time in a busy month for schools, and thanks to Gene Meegan for his help and suggestions with this week's programme. Remember, you can listen back to this programme and hundreds of others from the last 10 years by going to seandelaney.com and clicking on podcasts. If you're a beginning teacher or seeking to reinvigorate your teaching, you may be interested in reading my book, Become the Primary Teacher Everyone Wants to Have. It's available from local libraries and from online bookstores. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you for listening.